Blog Talk Radio. Spells, but no. I always say I am the sale. But, no, yeah, but we do, I do, in my family, I do have people who do, you know, used to do that. I don't know if they do it anymore or stuff like that. But, you know, me, no. You know, because being raised in the church and stuff, that stuff is kind of frowned upon. But, you know, here's what the weird thing. I'll say this. My family still did, you know, my family, we love the Lord and we Christians, stuff like that. But my family was very, did do, like, growing up, we definitely went to church and practiced church and stuff like that, all that and everything. But we were very, we do have, you know, we used to go to the New Age store. My grandparents would had an altar. They would light candles for certain things and stuff like that. So I do have some of that energetic, you know, stuff. Or they would do things like, my grandfather had a friend who used to know how to astral plane travel and all that stuff. I used to love to hear about that kind of stuff. You know, I was a kid. I was like 12 or 13 years old. I think my first, like, serious book was Out on the Limb by Shirley MacLaine. Y'all like, oh, you know that. No, it's just we are very spiritual, and we love, and we're Christians. So I think that's kind of like people are like, ooh. And I don't know, we didn't know, I don't know if we think it's such a good thing, but we have been open to what people would maybe consider some practices, I guess. My mom definitely is. So, yeah. But we don't practice, you know. You may know about these things, but, yeah. So, I've heard that, though. I put up something the other week on my thing. Because I had somebody say, oh, you have witchy vibes. And I was like, I think people think that because you're a Scorpio, because Scorpios tend to have that energy or whatever. But I'm not, for those of you, because I look at the moon and I like the moon, the cycles of the moon and stuff like that. Here is my belief. My belief is that God is a God of order, okay, in Christianity, and that God orders even the moon cycles, and the moon cycles, there is no mistaking that moon cycles and things like that might affect us in some way. It is not a worship of the moon, though. Some people think, oh, you're worshiping the moon. No. you wouldn't know. That's not exactly, because the moon is a created thing. I don't worship the moon. But the moon holds power because it is an object that God put in the sky that can affect lunar cycles, affect us and all these things. So I think that's how I see things. Now, everybody doesn't see things that way, but a lot of people will think that, okay? So I wanted to get that straight. Because a lot of people, sometimes people do think that, you know, or whatever. Or like, I'm over here concoct spells or something like that. No, you know. No, I don't know. I know about them, but I don't know. I don't do them. All right. Okay, so you guys. I saw this great show because I love shows like that, this Car Discovery of Witches. It was so, so good. It was fun. I like those little fun shows like that. If y'all haven't seen it, it's on Prime. Oh, my goodness. It is so excellent. It's like 3 seasons, and they get, you know, the 3rd season is the finale season. But it's this story of, you know, how inter beings live among each other. Like, people don't know that they have vampires living among them, demons and witches and all the evil occult things. It's me, okay? But it's not really, you know, they have it like a good witch vibe, bad witch, bad magic, blue, good magic and stuff like that. Very good show. It was really good. I enjoyed it. And they had a little bit of time travel, which I love, because they did like the second season, and, you know, they do a little bit of time travel, and you guys have to see it if you like that kind of stuff. If you're like a hair, if you like those kind of magic, mystery sort of shows, you would like Discovery of Witches. It was really good. I enjoyed it. I also like Witches of Mayfair, but it has not come back on yet. So I like stuff like that. That's really good. Good, good, good things, okay? All right, so you guys, so I wanted to tell you guys about that. That's what I was doing the last couple of weeks, watching those. What else is going on? What else is going on? Trying to think what's going on with my time. What am I doing that I can tell y'all about? I started growing my hair back out, okay? So, like, I've been wearing wigs and stuff, you know, but sometimes I'll be wearing just my cap and stuff. Oh, my God, and I don't know if I'm going through this phase because I'm like, do I want to get rid of my natural hair? Do I want to go back to, you know, like, chemical hair, or do I want to keep my natural? Because my natural, it's so cute. I haven't seen it since little. I was like, oh, it's so cute. So I don't know, because, you know, natural hair is a lot to take care of, but I'm considering it. Oh, I really like it. Oh, that's where I'm at now, in the middle of growing back out my hair, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, Sacred and Beyonce's spell work she's doing over there with Sacred. Beyonce is so funny to me. The whole brand of Beyonce is humorous to me. Okay, so I'm gonna talk about that a little bit later on the show because, man, we got to get to her talk, the stuff she's doing this week, okay? I mean, this is not the first time, and I feel there's a certain, we're going to talk about all of this a little later, about this, some of the things I'm thinking that's going on in with that brand. Oh. And what they're trying to do over there is to stop it from flopping all over the places, okay? So, meanwhile, okay, guys, when we come back, we'll get into a little of this news. I don't have an It's a Word for today. I did have one at one time, but I don't know what, I can't remember it. So that means I don't have one. So let me just say, I don't know. If I can remember it during break, I'll bring it back and say something about it. But we're going to go a bit. We're going to go a little bit on we're going to go on break. And then when I get back, we're going to talk about some of this news going on out in these streets and a whole lot more. Meanwhile, let's start off with Aretha, Jump to It. It's the CC Show. I'll be back in a moment.
The reason why. Thank you. talk. We have a lot of fun, don't we, girl? Dishing out the dirt on everybody and giving each other the 411 on Who Drop Kick Tuesday. You know what to talk. When the baby girl jump, dee 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 dee.
Crazy has like as a country when we're debating about whether to punish people because they're homeless. I understand keeping certain parts of the streets and stuff like that, you know, clean and not having homelessness, like, because in some cities, you know, they got whole homeless cities, okay, and tents and stuff. I understand trying to clean up and stuff like that, the cities and stuff, by trying to help some homeless people. You know, the Bible says the poor you will always have with you. That's just something you probably will never get rid of, because sometimes it's people's mindset. One of my best girlfriends had a child who was a lot sometimes on the street, and, you know, they just like living on the streets. So sometimes it's there's a lot of reason when you talk to people who are homeless. Sometimes you're dealing with mental illness, but sometimes you're dealing with very intelligent people who just sometimes don't want responsibility in life, or some people have gotten out there because they got hit with something hard, and it can happen to anybody, any of us, okay? So, you know, I just say, this is how America, listen, you're taking care of, I have a problem, because, you know, it's my grandparents and those old people used to say back in the day, used to tell this story about the old lady who took care of all the kids on the block, but her own kids went to the penitentiary, okay? So it wasn't that great that she was, you know, taking care of, but she wasn't taking care of her own kids or guiding her own kids, okay? So my thing is that, you know, America has not put into its own homelessness, but yet and still you're giving debit cards and stuff to people who broke the law, not people who came over here. I'm not talking about people who legally come the right way. And I don't have a problem when it's legally done the right way and everything, people being helped out when they get into the country, being new immigrants into the country, and you've done it right. Not you coming flooding across the borders and just having your way. I'm talking about people who've done it right, okay? And, yes, I don't mind, like, programs to help them or things to help out or something like that when you are in the process of becoming a legal citizen the right way. But illegal aliens, because y'all don't call them that no more, illegal immigrants, no. You're taking care of people, giving them debit cards, and we're having this discussion about whether you should punish homeless people. Wow. So let's listen. This is from Supreme Court. It's from CNN. It says, when Helen Cruz pitched her tent in a city park a few years ago and made it her home, she chose the location for one reason. She wanted to be close to the houses she cleaned for a living but could never afford for herself. People see the irony of it, said Cruz, 49. I never looked at it like that. What Cruz didn't realize then was that living in a park in Grant Pass, Oregon, would place her in the middle of a national debate that will reach the Supreme Court on Monday about whether cities can respond to a spike in homelessness by punishing homeless people. In the most significant appeal involving unhoused Americans to reach the high court in decades, the justices will hear argument Monday on whether ticketing people who live on the streets is cruel and unusual and violates the Eighth Amendment. The case is being watched closely by city and state officials who are uncertain how to respond to a surge in homelessness and encampments that have cropped up under bridges and in city parks across the nation. It's also being followed by people who live in those encampments and are alarmed by efforts to criminalize the population rather than build shelters and affordable housing. Nobody wants to be out here, said Cruz. Well, that's not true. Some people do. That's not true. That's my personal opinion. Who has? Because I've talked to people where they've said they just like living in the street life. Okay, but it says, who has since moved into a church where she serves as a caretaker? We know the parks are for family and children. The thing is, we have no place to go. There's no housing. Cruel and unusual. Between 2022 and 2023, the number of people experiencing homelessness increased 12%, according to the Department of Housing and Urban Development report in December. On any given night, the study found more than 650,000 people in the United States are unhoused, including roughly 40% without adequate shelter. Grants Pass, a city of 38,000 people in southern Oregon, responded by intensifying enforcement and anti-camping ordinance that bar people from sleeping in public with bedding, which can include sleeping bags or bundled-up clothing. The city has prohibitions apply to everyone, not just unhoused, okay? Critics said only people pitching tents on the sidewalks are homeless, okay? Let's stop here. You guys can read that rest of that full article. You get it on Yahoo News and CNN, okay? But here's what I'll say. I do say that now there is a difference in breaking the law. You know, people don't want you pitching a tent out in front of their homes or stuff like that, okay? But, and public parks and places like that. And the Supreme Court, I understand, they've got a hard decision to make because this could, to me, this could have big, huge consequences where we start to treat homeless people like criminals, and I don't want that to happen, okay? But they shouldn't, you can't park your tent in front of a business, you know what I'm saying? Or you can't park your tent, you know, in certain places. But I would like to see us as America have more places for the homeless to go throughout cities or more places, even if there are more places where they can, the homeless can sleep overnight if they can't get into a shelter. Maybe I heard a story about how in one city they have places where the homeless can come and park and the police patrol the area, make sure it's safe and stuff like that, and they can sleep overnight and blah, blah, blah. You know, because sometimes people hit hard times, and ticketing them ain't going to help. They homeless. You ticketing them what? Ticketing them for what? And y'all out here giving illegal immigrants money. People who broke the law, giving them jobs and stuff like that. They not even citizens. But you letting your own citizenry go to hell? That's crazy. What's this, the scripture say, a man don't take care of his own house is worse than an infidel? I mean, really. This just, it's nuts. And so I'm very scared of the Supreme Court looking at a case where they possibly can punish, even though I understand how people don't want people pitching tents in their front name, because homelessness could come with crime and stuff like that, but people don't want people pitching tents in their parks where kids play and all this. I get all that. I understand that. However, we got to have some balance in this country. Then we need to be more helpful in healing the homeless academic, giving people more help. That's why I always tell people, I may lean more conservative, but I have some things that I like that are liberal. See, when you tell me what you a Democrat or you tell me you a Republican, are you Republican? All you do is tell me where you stopped at, where you stopped thinking at, because the world is not full of absolutes, black and whites, okay? The world has a number of different things that can work in different scenarios in different places, and you have to be a thinker to see that, okay? Or a person, just people have to think more outside the box to see that. I don't like the idea of that Supreme Court looking at this. I think it's scary because it could start issues with more issues. If America don't have problem enough with class and race, it can start even more issues and problems with class and race and how we see people and how we see things. This does not sit well with me. It does not. And it's very sad because we're asking the wrong questions now. We're not asking how we help our homeless, how we help people on the street, how we build infrastructures to help people and stuff like that. We're not asking those questions. We're saying, you know what? Hey, how do we punish these people? Because they sleeping now. They're saying they done grew exponentially. How they done got bigger. So how do we stop? You know, how do we stop them? You know, from being an eyesore. And I can't believe that Americans are getting angry about people sleeping in their parks, but they're not getting angry about people flooding the borders, protest, staying in $500 a night hotels, $1,000 a night hotels, who broke the law, who broke American law, And I understand, listen, let me just say this, okay? Some people, I understand they fight because some of them are coming from horrific things in different countries. But we also had, we used to have refugee programs, okay? We can't have you just flooding over because you want to. And now everybody's trying to be a refugee, you know what I'm saying? So they're ruining it for people who really need the help. And then sometimes in your country, like I'm going to talk about Haiti in a minute, you got to stand 10 toes down because it's been going on too long. You got at some point, somebody got to stand 10 toes down and stop the madness. Or try to stop the madness. I mean, you look at places like apartheid in South Africa and what happened in South Africa. Nelson Mandela, there was a Nelson Mandela that rose up. Okay? So it comes with a price. You know, some of these, you can't just run all the time. But I understand when some people do have to run, like especially if they've been big-time advocates in their country. That's what it used to be years ago. Like if you were a person who were fighting in your country, you were an advocate for change and justice and freedom. And America sometimes would call these people like this refugees. Oh, let's give them a because they're, you know, pretty, it's getting dangerous for them to stay in their country. Okay? And let me see. I'm going to look this up here. But it's getting, here's the definition. Because what we have now, people, is people not who fighting for their rights over in their country, who's fighting. A lot of people call themselves refugees, and they not. They just runners, okay? But refugees used to be it. And that's not, I'm not dissing that. I understand fear. Fear, shoot. Some people should be, some people, it's, sometimes you got to get out. Sometimes God will cause you to move to a place, you know, and give you protection. But not everybody. You know what I'm saying? So, but it says, a refugee, conventionally speaking, this is on Wikipedia, it says a person who has lost the protection of their country of origin and who cannot or is willing to return there due to well-founded fear of persecution. So a lot of times we change the definitions of refugees. Refugees used to be people who were fighting in their country for change and stuff, and it got so dangerous for them. Now, they was 10, they fighters. They wouldn't know. They just didn't start running. No, they were fighting and trying to advocate. And then when it got so dangerous and fear of persecution to a certain group or a certain group, then people all around the world would take in different refugees, okay? But now, see, we can't even do that. It's got people flooding all over the border. And we can't even take care of it. So you giving people, getting back to the original part of the subject, is we giving people $500 and $1,000 a night hotels. Debit cards to eat. Some places I've heard people even giving cars and stuff, okay? Housing vouchers and stuff like that. What the hell is going on? But you can't help your homeless in your own city. And this, you know, even and you don't even want to help people. Y'all don't even want to do a blanket forgiveness of student loans. That's crazy. And that's where I am with them for that. I've been saying that for years. Okay, so that's crazy to me. I think that's nuts. I think that it's nuts that you guys now want to punish the people. Are taking this Supreme Court is hearing a case about punishing the homelessness, punishing homeless people. Ridiculous. Terrible. We can't be going anywhere good with that kind of thing. America can't be going anywhere good by that just even being a thought. Just wow. I mean, just wow. Okay? And especially when we're not speaking up for other things, okay? So it's just crazy to me. Okay? I think we talked about Nelly and Ashanti officially. I think I talked about that last week. They officially announced that they were having their baby. Congratulations, Nelly and Ashanti. Now, what I did notice, and I'm not trying to be funny out here in these streets, okay? I did notice, maybe, am I trying to be funny? Ashanti said she's engaged and stuff, but I ain't seen Nelly say a word. Nelly ain't, where Nelly? Nelly ain't been out here in the saying, announcing nothing. Is he on tour or something? Where's Nelly at? Okay, Nelly, be with your lady. You done got this girl back. You should be out here. You should be the main one talking about, man, yeah, we having a baby. You should be doing interviews everywhere. You got this beautiful girl back, and now you're having a baby. Well, I don't see. He's like running. He's like in hiding. It's Ashanti going around telling everybody. Congratulations, okay? Congratulations. Now, this is something I found interesting this week, okay? Mayor Lucas of Kansas City welcomes migrants, to Kansas City to work, which is funny because Kansas City's poverty rate is 15% more than the average national average. Who are you inviting, sir? And I ain't even from, I just know I'm from Kansas City, okay? How you inviting somebody? You work on your own state. Work on your own. Get your own shit together. Work on people in your own stuff. Anyway, but it says here, Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas said he has a message for migrants looking for work. He's trying to make Kansas City, it's a lot of Democrats, and they're using black mayors to do so, which is very interesting. Because why? Because the DNC, I believe, is doing this. This is just my personal opinion, giving mandates to black mayors to be this face. Because a lot of black Americans have been going off about illegal immigration and how it affects them. So they're trying to use these people to sell off illegal immigration to you, okay? But he says, Lucas posts on a social media platform, X is catching the attention of state leaders. The Kansas City mayor sharing an article on X from Bloomberg saying he's working with mayors of Denver and New York and open to bringing migrants to Kansas City to work. The post catching the attention of state leaders. Now, which is interesting because, to me, you have a lot of people fleeing from Missouri, including businesses, allegedly, and all these things, to other cities. Okay? So who are you offering? What jobs are you offering, sir? Okay, Jay Ashcroft, this is some of the leaders, said, good grief, the mayor should be protecting the people of Kansas City and instead is taking away protection to import lawlessness. Missouri is not a sanctuary for criminals, okay? All are welcome in Kansas City, proud. This is cute. They're using black mayors, and black mayors, quit being dumb. It used to be back in the day, you didn't let DNC use you. Now y'all letting DNC, because a lot of y'all are trying to move up. They're promising you some things that they probably are not going to deliver. You know how you got to know, especially if you're a black American in the Democratic Party. And that's just not the Democratic Party. The Republican Party got problems, a lot of problems too. But the Democratic Party specifically, because we're so gung-ho on it, okay? Here's the deal. The Democrats have been using black people for the longest, but here you have not had a president. You, as black Americans, especially you who are in Congress, you have not had a president who has been a descendant of slaves. You haven't had even a vice president who's a descendant of slaves. Do that tell y'all fucking something? Did that tell you that they may have done, they done made, don't even pay no attention? You so off in your, you, they don't even pay no attention to you no more. That's wild. And y'all up here, what are y'all advocating for? Illegal immigration. Y'all wild. Y'all, because y'all think the Democrats is going to give y'all something. And what we have, what I realize is a lot of times in politics, I used to be thinking years ago that, oh, black politicians, everybody was for activism and stuff like that. I remember a person told me, no, they for activism of their own groups and their own people and stuff like that. What we've had in what black Americans got to face about what we've had happen to us over the last maybe 60 to 70 years in politics is that we have befriended tricksters and slicksters, politicians who were just interested in getting themselves and their friends and so-called activists on, but they left you behind as a community. Now they advocate because they know you're dead in the water. They think you're dead in the water as black Americans. They've gone on, a lot of these politicians who are on in the black caucus will fight for the globalist causes because they know the globalism is coming. But they're forgetting who butters their bread, but they think black people are so unintelligent politically, in which at times we are, that we'll just keep voting them in there from name recognition and not pay attention to what they're doing. And that's shameful. So we got black people with black faces, but they're exploiters. Okay. So he says it's absolutely insane what they're proposing in Kansas City, Missouri. Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe said, basically becoming a sanctuary city, if you will, for all illegal immigrants. What we're saying is if you have gone through that work, you have worked with Homeland Security and you are lawfully present here in the United States, then you know what? We want to welcome you and make sure there's a way you can find work in our community, Lucas said. In the article, it states the city's budget for 2024 and 2025 is setting aside, listen to this, $1 million for short-term rehousing, health care, and job training programs for refugees and migrants. Oh, whoa. If you think, I listen to this sometimes, this guy who's on YouTube called No Fame, and he's been saying for the longest they're trying to replace, which is, a lot of people say that, he's trying to replace citizens because citizens have become too expensive. He didn't say that exactly, but I've heard that from other places, but he's saying they're doing a replacing game. And this is ridiculous. $1 million. He's got homelessness in Kansas City. Every time I come home to Kansas City, I'm seeing more and more homelessness in Kansas City. How you offering somebody some money to come stay? Why don't you offer, put $1 million aside for the homelessness in your city? The poverty in your city that is 15% above the national average. How you going to be offering anybody shit? See, if I'm black America, I'd be listening to him, voting his ass right on out. Okay? Next time. Okay, if he has resources, Lucas said migrants, many of whom are asylum seekers from Latin America, will help with labor shortage in construction and manufacturing, an issue he said both Kansas and Missouri are facing. Oh, please. There are plenty of black people who will work construction and labor and stuff like that if they pay them right. That is bull. This is all bull crap. Okay, they want cheap labor. And black people being a part of somebody getting exploited and labor is sick. But anyway, I think Kansas City will be a leader in making sure we have the decompression, the housing, those services that are necessary to help people get populated here in our country, Lucas said. Jason's Minha, a heavy construction laborer, Local 663, said help is needed right now. We're just getting to the volume of people that we need, he said. Yeah, okay, because my grandfather worked construction for years, okay, and he used to work sometimes with illegal people. We used to have, and I don't want to sound racist here, stuff like this, but a lot of my grandfather's closest, best friends, everything, that used to come around our house were Mexican people. We used to have them all around our house. They used to bring us food, all kind of stuff, okay? There was a lot there, okay? There was a lot of exploitation, exploiting them for cheap labor, trying to get black people out of construction. Stuff like that, just because they don't want to pay. Man, America, I can tell y'all some story, but I know that business depends on love, cheap labor, okay? So, that's what my grandfather did for years, okay? So he did railroad and he did concrete, okay? So I knew that, and we would have a lot. We had a lot of Latin people, different backgrounds around our house. Okay, my grandfather because we would know. And then growing up in Kansas City, I went to a school that where was predominantly black, but we had the biggest Latino population in our school. Okay, and probably because everybody used to always talk about, oh, y'all know a lot of the Mexicans. But that's because where I lived, okay? And so I'm just saying. So I kind of understand that game, okay? Okay, and just, you know. And then having people in my own family who have Latin descent and stuff like that. So I'm just trying to tell you, okay? It is a different game, okay? Illegal, especially when you illegal, okay? It's a lot of exploitation that goes on, okay? So it's going to be very interesting to see how people will react to Mayor Lucas saying that. I'm sure he's raised up a lot of political enemies, especially in Missouri. Missouri is very conservative. Has been semi-conservative over the years, okay? So, you know, it's going to be interesting how that is going to work for him. Now, the city, he's in Kansas City, Jackson County itself is, Jackson County used to be, especially the city, the urban, the main part of the city used to be mostly black. When I'm coming home, the more and more I'm seeing the city turn, you know, it's gentrifying, okay? And so, you know, he better be very careful because it has it gentrifying. Black people moving further out or further away or being forced out of the city due to taxes, all kinds of stuff, right? And he may find his voting block changing, okay? And I didn't think that was smart. Okay, so very interesting. I thought that was interesting. All right, because it's my hometown. All right, so what else do we got to talk about here? Okay, Taylor Swift this week came out with what did she have? 1.4. Let me just say this again. Okay, I'm drinking. Ice water. So if you guys hear, a couple weeks ago, one of my listeners was like, "What was that sound, Carlotta, when you said something?" And I realized I was moving my straw, but it sounded like a loud burp. But it was not. It was me moving a straw. And sometimes y'all can't tell, because, you know, I be messy on the show. I be eating, chomping. We family, right? We family. So I'll be doing anything, right? But yeah, that's what it was. But anyway, so if y'all hear ice and stuff like that, that's me because I'm drinking ice water or something like that. And I'll be having these hot flashes. You know, because I'm taking this stuff, like, and it's giving me hot flashes. All right, so yeah, so y'all may hear ice, plenty of ice moving around, okay? But what was he talking about? We talked about the Supreme Court. What was I on? You know, see how quick I forget my, you know, when I go to a sidebar, I forget. Okay, what did I say? Oh, Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, okay, came out. She ain't even did no promotion. She's somewhere laid up under Travis Kelce's ass, okay? Not thinking about y'all. But you know what she been did? She sold 1.4 million, no, Beyonce, not streams, okay, because I want to say it to Beyonce, because Beyonce been out here playing games, okay, and y'all be like, Carla, why are you going for the black white person? No, it's not that, it got nothing to do with color. It's just games that I feel like Beyonce's team be playing, okay, let me just say this, she sold 1.4 million albums sold in the United States alone, from a Tortured Poets Department, which I kind of like. It's very dark. It's different for her. Not as pop-tarty, very angry, but different, okay? But it says the numbers are growing. This is from Billboard.com. It says the numbers grow ever larger for Taylor Swift's The Tortured Poets Department, according to initial reports to data tracking firm Luminant. All numbers in this story reflect U.S. consumption only. In the album's first 4 days of release, the set collected 31 songs, which I haven't heard all 31 songs, okay? That's too long, Taylor, too. That album was going too long with just 15, okay? But it says generated 602.3 million on-demand official streams in the U.S., breaking Swift's own record for the largest streaming week for an album by a woman. Okay, she's not out here bragging on it. See how every week Beyonce be trying to put up them fake stats. They're not fake stats, but they be stats within a stat within a stat. Like, yeah, the first album in 10 years, that she went number one. I'm like, that's not good. You do not the hype you get. Not that I like Taylor all this much, but it's just trying to break down some things, okay? But it says, It says she previously held the record for opening frame of her last studio album, Midnights, which collected 549.3 million on-demand official streams for its 20 tracks. Okay, the Tortured Poets Department also claims the third largest streaming week overall, surpassing Midnights and only trailing opening frames of Drake Scorpion. Okay, and Certified Lover Boy. With 2.1 million units earned so far, the Tortured Poets Department has the biggest week for any album since Adele's 25 debut with 3.482 million units, okay? And the second largest week for any album since the Billboard 200 began measuring by equivalent album units in December 2014. In terms of straight album sales, that's 1.6 million total. It's inclusive of both over-the-counter and download purchases of the Tortured Department, Tortured Poets Department, May, April 19th through 22nd, in addition to a likely large number of pre-orders of the album through the internet retailers that were shipped to customers for arrival on release date. So she's been selling the hell out of this album, you know, in the age of streaming. Now, I know people, not a lot of that has to do with she, you know, she is a white woman singing pop music, okay? I understand that. But here's what I'm trying to say to Beyonce and her people. Beyonce, you would think you did this. No, I need to say it, okay? Because I got to come for her later on. I already got my keys for the Ramada Inn. I haven't said it in a long time because y'all been back with the Ramada Inn and haters things, you know, because when I say Ramada Inn on here, I'm going to use my keys and check in on the Ramada Inn. It's because Beyonce had a son saying all her haters can check into the Ramada Inn. So I always say I'm getting ready to check into the Ramada Inn because y'all think I'm a hater, but I'm not, you know. But I'm checking in for y'all, okay? But here's the deal. Beyonce, these are real sales. Her and Adele, I've always said it's Adele and Taylor running the show. I've always said that Beyonce is like a figment of the imagination. Like, Beyonce comes out with big splashes, but it's really just big splashes. No, the album sales are never that grand. The last several years, they haven't been. Okay? Not for all the hype she's getting. And I worry about her because, you know, it's a lot of money invested in Beyonce to get such dud-ass returns. I know the investors is looking at your ass like, You know what I'm saying? Because they really had to pump this country album out. Now, they kind of hating on Taylor's Tortured Poets Department. It still ain't stopping it from selling, okay? But Beyonce has gotten more hype than a little bit. And you would think that she sold 1.8 million. But they estimate, and they're not even sure about that she's only sold maybe 250,000 to 300,000 units. And that's good for her. I mean, it's good, it's decent numbers, but not for the hype you get. You should be doing Taylor Swift numbers. That's why I keep trying to tell y'all. It's a bubble. It is. I'm sorry. I know you're like, why you ain't that girl out? She's not a bubble. She's a bubble, okay? And I'm not, and the reason why I say this is because Beyonce's pushy career has gotten away of so many great black female artists' career. Y'all don't realize, y'all won't speak up for yourself, but y'all too busy in love with Thrall or her. But I'm going to tell the truth. She's gotten in the way of her pushy career, and it might not be her personally, but it's her pushiness. Okay, the pushiness of her career has overextended itself, over pushed itself on mediocre projects and mediocre merchandise and everything like that out here just taking up all the air in the room. She's a LeBron James of music. Now, oops. You know how they say LeBron be trying to get stats all the time. He just want to pad his stats. Beyonce doesn't want her award. She wants to be the most awarded chick in history, okay? So that you can look back and you can say, oh, Beyonce's the most awarded chick. But maybe not. But it's false if you didn't. If you lived in a time, you wouldn't know it was false. But if you live in another time, you won't know. But I'm here to put some history on the record. That you're a bubble. You're a housing bubble. You're a music bubble. One day, though, it's gonna crash. I'm sad for you, though. It's not that Beyonce doesn't do great sales. That's just what I'm saying. See, this is what you Beehive people don't understand. This is not what I'm not saying. I'm saying that you, with the hype and the all the stuff, the pomp and circumstance, all the pushing energy for weeks, he's getting country. We got Jay-Z rolling out talking about, you know, this chick right here, this woman right here, you know, this little girl right here, she deserves, I know she don't want me to say nothing, but you know, she deserves the album of the year, trying to rain all on Taylor Swift's parade and stuff like that. He's doing a Kanye without doing a Kanye, okay? And then all of a sudden, it was the rollout of Act Two, okay, of this country album, and Beyonce trying to push it down our throats that she know how to sing country, and she trying to bring black history to life, and she trying to talk about, I'm talking about the black people who did stuff. Beyonce don't ever talk about shit, okay? Beyonce is mute, okay? I don't know what's going on with the new Beyonce is mute. The new Beyonce don't talk at all, okay? She only talk when she trying to sell products, okay? Beyonce ain't giving no history lessons out here. What Beyonce did is took black history, this is my personal opinion, she's exploiting black history to make herself seem more relevant. Beyonce is trying to have album of the year. Okay? I said what I said, and I'm going to stick to it. And I got more to say about her a little later on in the show. Who you talk about? Sacred. The ritual. Okay, but Taylor Swift sold 1.4 million albums. Not surprised at that at all, okay? Let's see, what's next? FBI director has been sounding alarm on heightened threat environment. Is America listening? This is according to Fox News. It says FBI director Christopher Wray has warned lawmakers that the threat of terrorism has risen to a whole other level since October 7th. Now y'all not listening because y'all busy going around here. We pay attention so much to pop culture, and my show is part of it too. But, you know, we pay attention to pop culture, but sometimes we're not paying attention to some of the news stories going on out here and stuff. But it says, whether it's terrorism, China, or an insecure border, the U.S. faces a litany of threats both internally and internationally, according to the FBI. FBI Director Christopher Wray has repeatedly warned of heightened threat environment and has pleaded with lawmakers to take each one seriously. Connecting all of these disparate threats is the FBI's ability to adequately address them. At the House Appropriations Subcommittee earlier this month, Rary says the FBI's fiscal year 2024 budget was around $500 million below what the Bureau needed to sustain its 2023 efforts, okay? He also said the budget shortfall could not have come at a worse time, given the U.S., according to the Bureau, is in a heightened threat environment. You think so with the borders wide open? You think so? As I look back over my career in law enforcement, I would be hard-pressed to think of a time where so many threats to public safety and national security were so elevated all at once. But that is the case as I sit here today, he told the House lawmakers. His comments come days before a House passed a $95 billion aid package in military aid for who? Ukraine. Another situation they're giving money away, but yet they give money to Ukraine, but yet they asking should the homeless be punished. We don't make no sense. You know, I be saying to my family, I be saying, Ben, I say, you know, you pray for the country in which you were born, you know, and stuff like that. You like to see it succeed and get better. But the truth of the matter is, I'm scared for us because America has just not learned its lessons. And when you hear this kind of stuff, it's just like, ugh, you know. And you're talking about you have threats. Y'all don't act like it's that serious because you got the borders wide open. You let people come over whenever they want to. Okay, so it don't seem that serious to y'all. But it says, of all the threats the U.S. faces, FBI has signaled that China far outweighs them all, which is weird. No, it's not. According to Rary, the People's Republic of China has built up a vast cybersecurity and counterintelligence apparatus devoted to the threat of intellectual property and criminality. Okay, my timer is going off. I'm supposed to be on break. Okay, so you guys, I'm going to go on break. We'll come back and continue this story when I get back in a moment. Meanwhile, let's get into what we're going to listen to. Keep on Falling, Babyface, okay? I'll be right back, all right?
Every day like the first day, still get butterflies, oh yeah. Middle of the night, we all the way, baby, baby. Ain't no looking around, I'm first place, so I love him even more on his worst day. He's always there for me, and I don't know why, he don't ever give up, throw me on and above, yeah. But every time he does, I'm right back at her. I keep on falling in love.
Right back, okay? Okay, I am back on the CC show. I had to, you know, change up stuff or everything. Y'all know where my stuff going. Okay, I'm back, though, y'all. So we was in the middle of a story, right? We were talking about the United States there's been more, people are saying there's more threats against you. The FBI is saying that there's possible, let me see, where's my story at? I can find it, child. Okay, here we go. Okay, it says China is one of the biggest threats we're facing. It says it's built up, according to Rary, we're going to go back to this article. It says People's Republic of China has built a vast cybersecurity and counterintelligence apparatus devoted to the theft of intellectual property and criminality. While Rary spoke about the threats posed by China during a summit on modern conflict and emerging threats at Vanderbilt, University last week. China's hacking program was larger than that of every other major nation combined. And that's only magnified by the PRC's military and growing use of artificial intelligence. Wow. So they're saying there's a lot to look, a lot coming up in the future. It's a very interesting article. They talk about the border. He says securing the border remains a top issue for American voters, particularly amid the rise of suspects on the terrorist watch list, as well as the proliferation of deadly fentanyl into communities nationwide. Rary told lawmakers at a House Appropriations Subcommittee on April 11th that the Bureau continues to see drug cartels pushing fentanyl and other dangerous drugs into every corner of the country. He noted that at Vanderbilt University last week that many of fentanyl's precursor chemicals that end up in our communities are coming out of China. At the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing in December, Rary said the Bureau has seized enough fentanyl to kill 270 million people. That's about 80% of all Americans, Rary said. We're also focused on other threats that emanate from the border and impact communities all over the country, things like violent gangs and human traffickers. At the same hearing, Rary said terrorist ability to exploit any port of entry, including our southwest border, is a source of concern. There's a lot of discussion about numbers, and numbers are important, but let's not forget that it did not take big number on 9/11 to kill 3,000 people, he said, noting that the Bureau has seen an increase in suspect terrorists attempting to cross the border over the last 5 years, okay? Very interesting article. You can read that on Fox News. He even talks about terrorism and all some other threats that the United States may face in the future. And so to me, when the administration doesn't seem concerned about the borders and somebody's telling them, you might have some terrorists crossing your border, you looking like, that's crazy work. That's nasty work. It's like, what are you doing? It's nuts, okay? But very interesting, all right? All right, let's talk about Haiti, okay? Haiti's government scrambles to impose tight security measures inauguration imminent, okay? A transitional council charged with selecting a new prime minister and a cabinet for Haiti is demanding that its members be sworn in at the National Palace, raising concerns about their safety, okay? If I get this back up here. Okay. It's saying, this is from USNews.com. It's saying, armored vehicles slowly roll past Haiti's National Palace as police scan the horizon for gangs. Every day, bullets whiz past the area, striking buildings and people alike. Gangs control most of the territory that surrounds the palace, but a transitional council charged with selecting a new prime minister and cabinet for Haiti is demanding that its members be sworn in at the palace. The ceremony is scheduled for Wednesday, even as officials scramble to impose tight security measures, according to two high-ranking regional officials with knowledge of the matter who asked that their names be withheld because they were not authorized to speak to the media. The push to hold the ceremony at the palace is considered some a show of force to suggest that the Haitian government is still in charge despite marauding gangs who have previously attacked the palace and have promised to derail the ceremony as a daily barrage of gunfire persists in downtown Port-au-Prince. No one out here is safe, said Jazzy Jamiska, 33, as he waved his hand in reference to the sprawling public park known as Champ de Mars, where he sat Tuesday morning near the palace. Just steps from where he sat, a stray bullet struck the Jamaica late last week. The bullet is still in his calf, and he's hoping the doctor will operate on him soon. Shortly after he spoke, a pop of gunfire erupted briefly nearby. More than 2,500 people were killed or wounded across Haiti from January to March, more than a 50% increase compared with the same period last year, according to recent UN reports. Much of the violence is concentrated in Port-au-Prince. In a speech Monday, the UN Security Council, Maria Isabel Salvador, the UN Special Envoy for Haiti, said the Council's priority should include a plan for near-term security. Gang leaders and other sprawlers have stated that their intention to violently disrupt the current political process. She said, I cannot stress enough the need to assist Haiti with its efforts to reestablish security. While gangs have long operated in Haiti, they now have control 80% of Port-au-Prince and the coordinated attacks launched starting February 29th have paralyzed the capital and beyond, okay? They have burned police stations, hospitals, opened fire on the main international airport that remains closed since early March, and stormed Haiti's two biggest prisons, releasing more than 4,000 inmates, okay? Wow. Because I am 63 years old, and this is the first time I see something like this in Port-au-Prince, says Lenora Exil, who now lives in an abandoned bathroom in Champ Dumars Park after gangs raided his neighborhood. He said the ongoing violence should not deter Haiti from moving forward. Whatever the circumstance is, they have to swear in the council. I agree, okay? Something got to happen. Y'all got to gain some control. What is going on? And, you know, I think sometimes what happens is so many people, I don't know how to say this because I don't want to be, like, I don't want to be rude, and I don't want to be, like, what's the right word? Like, I'm not concerned for the state of people. I understand people being fearful and being in a fear. This is terrible. I empathize with them. But a lot of what's probably happened sometimes in places like this is that we have a lot of people. I mean, sometimes, Haiti's going through all this stuff, these reckonings, and they've been going through. But maybe it's cleaning out your mess because a lot of times, if you got people in a place and everybody's afraid and nobody's willing to stand up towards injustice, nobody's willing to be Toussaint Louverture, but instead they find it easier to run into somebody else's shit. You know, there's times, when, don't get me wrong, there are times when sometimes people, you called, okay, to other countries, God calls you to another place and stuff like that. I'm not talking about people who feel like they call to a new place. I'm talking about people who will run. You know, sometimes you want to run over on some shit, somebody else going to be here, or somebody else, and you find it easier to do that than to stand 10 toes down in your own stuff, right? And so sometimes maybe there's a healing in the midst of this going on of Haiti. That the real powerful Haitians in the area will start to stand up for change, okay? And then once y'all get that fixed, and then all these running motherfuckers be trying to run back, okay? But, you know, that's why I say sometimes in the midst of chaos, in the midst of mess, and shout out to those people who are there, who are staying in their home and trying to fight the injustice and hoping beyond hope. I'm not talking to people, like I said, I'm not talking to people who call to certain places. I'm not talking to y'all. Y'all feel like y'all have to, there's a God move going on. I'm talking to people who just run from a fight. What I'm saying is for you people in Haiti who had the Toussaint Louverture spirit, and y'all stand 2 10 toes down, and y'all trying to raise up the bar for the first Black Republic, shout out and love to y'all, because it's hard to do that. That's hard to do. Okay? Hard to do. And I hope I wasn't insulting to anyone, but I had to say that, and I said this a couple times, right? Moving on. Let's see. What's our next story? Okay, we're talking about Candace Owens going back Catholic town. Let's see. Okay, let's talk about Bakari Steelers, okay, on the Breakfast Club this week. Talking about Stephen A. Smith. you black Democrats see, no, not Democrats, black Democrats, black Democratic, Democrat, what do I call y'all? Democrat operatives. Y'all are so out of touch. You know, it's the same thing Malcolm. I can't believe that in the 1960s, Malcolm X was talking about this very problem with the Democrats, the Democratic Party. And now here we are. See, I'm not, and y'all saying, crap, why you not get on the Republican Party? The Republican Party is already branded what it is. Okay? But it's that y'all don't fall, y'all fall for the okey-doke of the Democrats. And years, I mean, Malcolm was saying the same stuff in the 60s about the Democrats and the DNC and black leadership in that promote Democrat narratives instead of what's best for their people. And a lot of people are getting, this dude is getting upset with Stephen A. Smith because Stephen A. Smith has been kind of speaking out. He said something about, I guess he talked about black people saying they relate to Trump and stuff like that. Okay, let's listen to him, and I got something to say about him in a minute. Okay, let's see if we get this.
I think that he appreciates the white gaze, and I think that he's made him
the white gaze.
What's wrong with appreciating the white LGBTQ community?
I didn't say G A.
It's your home. But what do you say about Stephen A. Smith?
I think that appreciates the white gaze, and I think that he's made him
the white gaze.
What's wrong with appreciating the white LGBTQ? I
didn't say G A Z E.
Oh,
gaze.
Did it sound like you said that? Gaze.
G A Z E.
No. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, I don't know what he was saying. But now, you know, he piles around with the Sean Hannitys and Tucker Carlsons of the world. He gives them their platform. Just, you know, last week he's talking about how when Donald Trump says that black folk find it relatable that he's going through his prosecution, I think that his anti-intellectualism, Stephen A. Smith, confused that that persecution with prosecution. Like, there is, you cannot compare the plight of my father, who got wrongfully arrested, went to trial, went to prison, right? That is a persecution to the plight of Donald Trump.
Shot at.
Shot. Yeah. Right? So you can't compare that. And I think that he talks loudly, and I think he comes from just a place of anti-intellectualism where he doesn't know. And I think that he's used as a conduit for white supremacy, particularly in these echo chambers. And what happens is white folk, white conservatives are able to be like, when you say dumb stuff like, you know, black people find it relatable that Donald Trump is indicted, right? First of all, it perpetuates stereotypes that we're hyper-criminalized, et cetera. But when you say that, white folk now look at you and be like, aha, there's even a Negro that says that too. And he's just he's kind of a useful idiot when it comes to things like that. Now, I disagree with his sports takes all the time, right? But that is what it is. But the stakes are too high for that level of ignorance. And so, you know, Jason Whitlock is a different animal. I think Jason Whitlock, Ice Cube, Stephen A. Smith are all in different lanes. I don't want people to think they're the same, but I do think they contribute to an erosion of our culture, and particularly the success thereof.
I don't like the generalization of when they ask those questions. Like, if somebody asked Stephen A. Smith that, he shouldn't accept it. He should say, I can't speak for all black people.
I mean, but he, that's what I'm, that's anti-intellectualism. Mm-hmm. And that's also like a weird level of confidence, because he appreciated the question. So he was like, I'm an arbiter of all things that are black. Let me tell you how black folk feel. But I mean, he used to hang out, like, Sheriff David Clark. I mean, you heard what he said about, remember back in 2017? You gave him Donkey of the Day in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, 2017, 2018. because he was like when back when J.R. Smith and the players were wearing hoodies, he said that they shouldn't wear hoodies because it would remind white people of Trayvon Martin. Like, what are we talking about? This isn't the first time we've been down this path with him. And so, you know, it's about accountability in our community. So I just called him out.
Hey, that was from the Breakfast Club where Bakari Sanders was on there, I believe, this morning or whatever. Let me just say this. Bakari Sanders is saying that he can't speak for all things black people, but black so-called intellectuals, he's talking about anti-intellectualism. And he's calling basically Stephen A. Smith, people like Ice Cube, dumb, okay? And he's saying, you know, he's saying that anti-intellectualism is, you know, what's causing them to speak for all black people. But aren't you speaking for all black people? You're saying you got some accountability in the community. What community? Who? The intellectual one? Here's the deal. And but he won't dare speak up against this. Not only did a lot of some black people, did Stephen A. Smith say this about black people, and I don't tend to like Stephen A. Smith's takes on some things, too. Sometimes Stephen A. can be a little problematic. Now, I don't even consider Stephen A. anywhere in the lane of Jason Whitlock. To me, Jason Whitlock, even though there are some conservative things I can agree with Jason Whitlock on, just like Candace Owens, there are some things I don't agree with completely, because when I think when you have racial rage in your spirit, something's happened to you or you're angry, because I think people like Candace and Jason are angry within themselves and angry at their people. But that's a whole different story. But and I think Jason tries to be a provocateur. There are sometimes I like what Jason says, but sometimes, a lot of times, I don't. There's a difference. I don't think Stephen A. tries to be a provocateur, okay? But here's what I will say. A lot of what's happening is a lot of black elites, a lot of black Democratic operatives are finding themselves at a loss. They are never, Malcolm used to say this to them years ago, they are never in touch with the grassroots movement. They're always in conflict. Why? Because you become usually an elite. So you don't hear the dudes in the barbershop, I mean the real talk, not when your little intelligent ass come in here. I'm talking about in the hood. You don't really hear them saying, yeah, well, I can get with Donald Trump. That, you know what I'm saying? Donald Trump, you know, he's a big person. He's going to justice. Like persecution is persecution, whether you're being politically persecuted or racially persecuted. Persecution is persecution, and it's not fair, okay, either way. Even if Donald Trump, even if you don't like Donald Trump and he has some racial tones, just like Joe Biden, who y'all all support, who is a known segregationist apologist on record, in my personal opinion, went to segregationist funerals, gave eulogies to put black people in jail, yet y'all still all day, every day, go hard for Donald Trump. But here he is, go hard for Joe Biden, but here y'all still mad at Donald Trump for the Part Five. But y'all ain't mad at Joe Biden, okay? So don't even make no sense. Because why? Because we have a lot of Democratic operatives who are interested in pushing their own narratives and pushing their own things, and they're not in touch with their people and the low levels, and they're used to dictating to their people. But the day has changed. You can't dictate to your people no more. You can't get on Tom Joyner and a Breakfast Club, because Tom is gone now. You can't get on Tom Joyner on Breakfast Club and DL Hughley and I didn't tell black people what they should be doing. Because a lot of black people are feeling something different than what you feel. I'm not saying black people go vote Republican. I'm saying black people are even black people on low levels are starting to expand themselves. And they never, Malcolm X always said, they never really bought into some of y'all on the intellectual level because you're out of touch. You think you're supposed, I'm so smart, I need to dictate to them because they don't understand really what's going on in the community. Okay? But no, maybe you don't understand. Stephen A. Smith, you get on Stephen A. Smith because he's an easy target. Let me go back to that. But Farrakhan said the same thing. And I dare you to call him anti-intellectual because, you know, he'll read you for filth. Okay? So what he said the same thing about how people can black people can identify with Trump in some ways, okay? And before this, let me just say this, okay? Because a lot of blacks, and especially liberal blacks, try to hide how much Donald Trump helped a lot of their careers that was falling off through The Apprentice. They was all cool with Donald Trump years ago, okay? But when Donald Trump got into politics and went on the other side of the Republican Party, see, a lot of black people in Hollywood, the DNC, runs Hollywood. So a lot of Negroes are scared to speak out against anything that's Democratic. It's not anti-intellectual to say, yeah, this guy, he's against the FBI, maybe for very different reasons. We know that. But that's a lot of stuff black people have been FBI and CIA one to put controls on them. Maybe we have different reasons, but we still can say, hey, we understand that. We understand somebody being accused of things that they probably didn't get accused of. We can understand that. He's not saying, oh, black people get me because they criminals. He's saying black people understand in this country what it's like to be branded a criminal and you really not, because people are trying to put you down, okay? Don't try to come out here, Bakari, and the rest of you Democrats and try to make everybody seem like they dumb because they don't think like your punk asses who celebrate readily every day a known person who was down with the segregation. The great senator of Delaware. Okay? Yeah. We want to talk about that too. Okay? A lot of crimes against black Americans, in my opinion, that he was all down with. Okay? But yet, y'all still are mad at Donald Trump about the file. Y'all don't make no sense. Y'all ain't got no argument. Get out of here. It's racist on both sides. It's racist Republicans. It's racist Democrats. America has a racist construct in this country. Ain't you Negroes, you super think you intelligent Negroes is not going to get get on these things no more and run it. A lot of y'all come from elite families and stuff like that, and you think you're supposed to your word is supposed to be bond. It's changing now. The game's changing. Because what's happening is black people have been having these gatekeepers for 50 and 60 years telling us the same shit, and they families been moving on up, but a lot of black people ain't been moving on up. And it's time to remove some of their asses, some of us to listen to their asses, because they be sounding crazy. They be calling other people anti-intellectual, but they aren't. They think they so smart that they not that smart. And my grandparents used to say, the old people too, just old people, period, they say, when you be too religious and somebody is so spiritual and stuff, they say, child, don't be so earthly-minded, that scripture, don't be so heavenly-minded that you know earthly good. And that's a lot of these black intellectuals, Democrat intellectuals. They're so uppity, black Democratic smart uppity, that they're no good on the low level. They don't know what's happening in the streets. They don't know what's happening in grassroots levels, or they don't want to listen to it because grassroots might replace them and they bogus, outdated ideas. So, yeah, I had to talk about that. I thought that was terrible. Okay, and he's trying to talk about Stephen A. Smith. Not that I'm a big Stephen A. Smith fan, but who are you to call somebody anti-intellectual? You think it's coming from you sound anti-intellectual. What is that? You can't understand that black people can relate to persecution. That has nothing to do with criminality, because Donald Trump, because y'all could have put false charges up against Donald Trump. He believes to be false charges. Well, there's a lot of black people out here believe they didn't have false charges put up against them. What can't your over-intellectual ass not gather with that? You seem anti-intellectual. You seem like you can't get it. You coming on TV, trying to get on here. See, y'all got to, we got to call it out the BS, because these people, a lot of these people are great, okay? All right, so on to the next story. All right, this is an interesting story. What do we have? Let me look at this here. Okay. Attractive women inspire men to tell the truth and women to lie. This is a new study that's come out. I don't see why it's a study, okay? But it says attractive women inspire men to tell the truth and women to lie. This is according to NewYorkPost.com. This is an article from them. Okay. And it's saying published in the Journal of Economic Behavior and Organization, the research aimed to reveal how a woman's appearance impacts the moral behavior of others. Researchers in Tel Aviv gave men and women, 110 individuals, each a questionnaire with an image of a woman attached, and falsely told participants it was the face of the scientist leading the study, okay? Half of the questionnaires questionnaires featured the image of a typically attractive woman and the other half less attractive woman. The results showed that men were more likely to behave more honestly when they believed they were interacting with a beautiful woman, while the opposite pattern was seen in female participants who exhibited a beauty penalty towards the attractive women, study authors wrote, okay? The researchers attributed women's reactions to an attractive female to the negative emotional priming of female jealousy and envy, which is related to social comparison theory. Men's behavior, on the other hand, was linked to the beauty premium, a previously proven phenomenon that has found that beautiful people are often assumed to have good character traits and a good life. The reality of pretty privilege has been debated as people dispute how their looks have helped or hindered them in different aspects of life. Last summer, the topic went viral as some women bragged about the lavish gifts and expensive trips they received because of their good looks, and others complained being hot was a curse. People overall treat you much differently, and they don't judge you for your actions. They judge you just for your appearance, okay? Pretty girl privilege only works in certain aspects of life, Lee said. Sure, being really good looking is handy when it comes to free drinks, VIP labels, and rich guys, but the benefits, she noted, are limited. Pretty girls are never taken seriously, Lee said. Others insisted that downsides of pretty privilege had more to do with beautiful women's behavior. There are very few people that are so beautiful that people are just alienating them for no reason, okay? TikToker Amber Can, 45, from the Upper West Side, insisted to the Post. However, research has shown that shallow reality is while beauty may only be skin deep, its impact runs deeper, okay? Of course there are pretty privilege among men, okay? Men will lose their strength, okay? I was talking about this behind a woman. Remember Samson and Delilah? What was Samson? Samson knew. Here's the weird thing about people never pay attention to the story of Samson and Delilah. Samson knew Delilah was a trickster. He knew it. Every time she was like, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And Samson would wake up, you know, toy with her. And then one day, he really got his hair cut off. But he knew she wasn't cute. Okay, Samson knew Delilah was cute. I got to read that story. He knew from the very beginning. But yet and still, he still came to rest under Delilah, to toy with Delilah, to mess around with Delilah because of her beauty and her being a seductress, okay? Beautiful women have been known to topple kingdoms, okay? I always say beauty comes with major responsibilities if you're considered beautiful. It is, but now check this out. Now, everybody don't use, they know how to use their pretty privilege. You know, I will say this because I want to say it because I don't want to sound like I'm being like, you know, bragging. I don't want to sound like I'm talking about myself, but I have pretty girls working at pretty girls working at McDonald's. Remember a few years ago, the young lady who was at Home Depot, and everybody was like, "Well, she too pretty to be working at Home Depot." I'm like, "Well, she in college. Let her work at Home Depot." But I think people assume pretty, but I've seen pretty people, pretty women who are more beautiful than even some of these celebrities out here, because those celebrities have a whole bunch of shit with them, okay? That's why they look beautiful. But I've seen girls working in McDonald's, 30, 40 years old and stuff like that, just have some wrong twists and turns and lights and shit. And they run circles around Beyonce. That's fact. So sometimes you can have all the beauty in the world, and you may not know how to navigate it, move with it, or use it. You know, when I'll just say this. When I was my grandmother always, people used to think that, I'm not saying I'm pretty, I'm not saying that, I think I'm cute, but I'm just saying that people used to say that to me, that I was very, very much into, sometimes I would know how to navigate my beauty, sometimes I didn't. I think that I would always try to shy from what people feared it would be cute. Now that I'm in my 40s and 50s, which is during the time that sometimes your beauty, you start to get older and stuff like that, I'm accepting more being cute, okay? But when I was younger, I just really, I don't know if I felt sometimes it could be too much. I mean, with people, if you, certain things could be too much. There's a lot of times people don't want to accept certain things about themselves, right? But beautiful women are all over the place, right? And there are some women, it's just not about beauty. Beauty is about, if you have beauty, it's a great responsibility, how you navigate it in the world and where you may end up. Beauty can be a tool that can make you end up in great places. There's some people out there that can't, like in Hollywood, that you're looking at, they can't sing, they can't act, but they show is pretty. You know what I'm saying? And they have learned to navigate. That's one of the tools they have used. You know what I'm saying? So it just isn't about. And then there are some people who are working at McDonald's and who are beautiful. You walk in the door, and they may have gained a little weight, but they still got the most beautiful faces. Or they may not gain a weight, they're in shape, looking good. But, you know, they had a couple of babies when they was a teenager, or something happened, you know, or a life hit them, or, you know, I had to do this, I had to drop out a certain thing. And they didn't get to where the other person got to. So beauty, yes, can be a tool, but then again, you know, it may not be a tool, but I'm not surprised. People always react well if you look good, okay? If you take care of yourself good, all right? So that doesn't surprise me, this study, all right? What else did we talk about? Who's ready to talk about Beyonce yet? Well, but I got all on here that I'm so talking about. You said Jill Scott made the stuff. First, we'll do the Jill Scott story, okay? Okay, so this week, y'all was mad at Jill Scott, okay? Jill Scott has some things to say about Chris Brown, which, listen, I halfway agree with, I half don't. Let me see if he can pull it up here. Let's see. We got so much to talk about. So we got to talk about Brown tonight, too. I don't know why I didn't put that in the description, y'all. Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize I had so many stories. Hold on, let's see. Can I find it now? The Jill Scott story. Okay, I'm running. Okay, here it is. Okay. All right, so Jill Scott praises Chris Brown. Chris Brown responds to fans pointing out his abusive history. Okay, and this is from Billboard. Hold on. Okay, this is from hotnewshiphop.com, okay? It says, much of Chris Brown's allegedly abusive history against women is just that, accusations. However, no, some of them are not accusations. There's some things that have been documented, I believe. Like, more, the Rihanna incident was documented. And I believe there was a couple of things that he's done or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But however, given that he pled guilty to assaulting Rihanna 15 years ago and the testimonies from his former partners in the media, he's always dealt with folks writing him off due to his past. Granted, the Virginia native has always been quite aggressive in responding to these narratives. And it's overall a very complicated web. Moreover, a lot of this is popping back up in trending topics because of a recent tweet from Muffy Hassan and Jill Scott praising Reezy. She responded to many folks online Sunday, April the 21st, who offered their criticism, support, or other comments about the matter. At Chris Brown is amazing, Jill Scott wrote of Chris Brown on the social media platform. How does anybody sing like that, dance, look, act, and rap like that? Beyond gifted. It appears exceptional people have to go through exceptional fire. There's nothing to debate. I think the women he's abused would disagree when user posted. I doubt it, Scott replied. My mother's ex-husband was mean, violent, human, and he could lay foundation better than anyone in my city. What he did with cement was eye-inspiring. We got away. He got raised and prayed for his ability. God dealt with the rest. Okay, listen, let me just say this, okay, Jill? Because I understand this. But somebody said this, I love you, Jill, but he has so many domestic abuse cases. It's ridiculous. We can't look past that. Another fan replied, I love you too, Jill Scott, but I'm not here to fight any Moore's battle. If since women hear stories, they should avoid that street. Well, let me just say this. A lot of celebrity women do this too, because a lot of times they're out of touch and whatever. They see people on the celebrity level, and so they haven't heard the problematic stories of colorism, allegedly, and all these other things that go on with Chris Brown. Partly my personal opinion with Chris Brown, how I can tell he still has issues, is how he responds. I mean, you have to not be emotionally intelligent to not notice that, okay? What I would say with this, with situation like this, Jill Scott is, I think, like myself, we love men, and we want, especially black men, we want black men in the community to do well. We want to encourage them and everything, and we want to extend them grace, okay? But having talent does not excuse abuse or lacking character. As a matter of fact, Jill, I would warn Chris against women saying that, like what you just said to him. Instead of saying to him, get your character right, get your manhood right. You can't, just because you're, you know how many, I always say this all the time on the show, you know how many greatly talented people they are out in these streets? So many. It's so many talented people that, sometimes talent is good, but it may not be exceptional. You just got seen. I've been reading, I read this book years ago. What's it called? And I want to read it again. It's called, I forget about it, what the name of it is called. But they talk about how people, sometimes your talent, it's not your talent, but it's where you were located in a city and you could sing. And you just happen to be living in New York City, well, it's more entertainment capital. So that's why you got discovered. Maybe because you're so special. Okay. You know how many people out here can dance like Chris Brown? You know how many people can sing like Chris Brown? You know how many people can dance like Chris Brown? A lot. Talent is no excuse for acting, having low moral character, low values, for being an asshole. Okay? A lot of times people only want your talent, Chris, but they don't care nothing about your personal growth as a human being. They just want to say, oh, he's so talented. Watch out this man. Like R. Kelly. I love R. Kelly. I think R. Kelly's totally talented. Well, he got problems. He won't grow the fuck up. He's still dealing with you can't do what you do. Man, you got caught up. And even though what I argue against a lot of times on this show is against unfair trials. and unfair perceptions, because what I am for doesn't mean I don't think somebody's guilty, but I will be the devil's advocate if it seems like court cases are putting people in jail where they don't have fair trials. I hate when somebody's guilty. If they don't get a fair trial, that can happen to any of us, okay? Even the ones that are not and who are innocent. Okay, so I tend to fight stuff like that, even for people I think that could be guilty. Like when I say on here, women shouldn't come, when I say women come up 40 years later with a rape thing, I'm like, unless you got some proof, because I don't think that's fair. You got to have proof. You can't just put people in jail on people's words. And especially when we're talking about fame, because I believe fame is a different game than the regular life game. Because people have something to get from fame. Whereas if you're just walking down around every day, carry, and 10 people accuse you of rape, it still should be vetted. You still should have a fair trial, but it's highly unlikely because don't nobody got nothing to gain. Now, if you're a big old star, right, and 10 women accuse you of rape, yes, still should be vetted, and it should be vetted even more so because 10 women can have interviews, money to gain, all kind of things from lying on you. Okay, so that's how those societies go. That's just life, okay? We can't put everybody's the same. Different situations require different things, okay? So I do talk about stuff like that on the show, but I am not for the excusing of people's behavior. Partly why Chris Brown gets the bad situation he gets is his attitude, how he responds. You can tell he fucked up. That's what I see. I see you can tell. And all the shit, you know, he ain't really meant to clean it up. He didn't lean into being, let me clean up my image. He started leaning in and talking about he Tyree and shit like that. I don't know nothing about it, but I'm just saying that's what he be saying on Wax or what he said on Jimmy. That's why people don't want to bring you to the, it seems like a promotion of game or something like that. Dude. Like, you didn't lean into nothing that helped you. You didn't lean into nothing. You don't seem like you even cleaned up your mind. And cleaning up is hard to do. Having character is hard to do. I was reading this week. I was reading one of the Bible. That's what I was going to talk to y'all about. I was reading one of Colossians 3 this week in the Bible. And I was like, and you know, this goes hard. Colossians 3 goes hard. And it was like, it was saying, hey, you know, be careful, you know, where you minister to others, lest you mess up your own self. You don't get in your own self. You preaching, but you ministering to others, but it ain't seeping into your life. Oh, like, Lord, let me hear that. You know, I don't want that. When I try to talk to y'all, I'll be trying to talk to y'all about something I need too. Okay, but you have to be willing to develop, get your character man right. And that may be hard because it may require you to do an overhaul of your life, get rid of certain people, get rid of things that are comfortable and that you attach to. Oh, and that's the hardest. Ugh, it's so hard. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard, but you got to do that. And I feel like Chris has not done the work, and people can see he has not done the work. And that is why he wants people to see his talent and just push him on through. And then you end up a wreck. You end up another statistic. And I would rather you never make the hype going to forego your character. Like you being a good character. Because if you make them hype and you don't got no character, them spirits going to kick your ass, okay? They are. They're going to come hard. So, yeah, I disagree with Jill Scott. In some ways, I understand what she's saying. He's talented, but so are a lot of people. I can go, it's a lot of people talented, okay? Sometimes it's not just you exceptional. It's sometimes you just got to break. All right. the news here. You know, it's hard to me. I said a lot of times, I said I feel like he was so concerned with his career and his people around him back when that thing happened with Rihanna years ago. Chris Brown was starting to be big. He was doing movies. He was doing this and doing that. I never thought Chris Brown could be a Michael Jackson. A lot of people, just because you can dance and sing, don't mean you're Michael Jackson, okay? That Michael, y'all say Michael Jackson. I really want y'all to understand what Michael Jackson was, and I say this all the time. In the 80s, the world was a much larger place. It was not the internet. Michael Jackson received worldwide fame in the 80s. He sold over 150 million albums of one record, and that wasn't even his only best-selling record. Black and White did well. So did, what's that, Off the Wall was a big track. Michael Jackson, and he came from a family that was multi-talented, who had a group from the time he was little. Michael Jackson paid a hefty price. Michael Jackson didn't just show up here at 14 or 15. Michael Jackson had been performing since he was 5 years old in a time where it was different. And the world had never seen nothing like Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was not a mannish dude. Chris Brown is very mannish, very, like, sexual. Michael Jackson was not. Listen, when y'all compare people to Michael Jackson, and I got to say, y'all don't understand that Michael Jackson was the circus. No, he was. Chris Brown is not the circus. I don't care if he could sing and dance and everything. He was not. Michael did not just present singing and dancing. Michael Jackson put a little bit of magic in the shit, meaning that Michael Jackson, you know, hanging out at Studio 54 with Andy Warhol, knowing Truman Capote, hanging with Liza Minnelli, hanging with Diana Ross and Grace Jones and James Brown being your mentor. Listen, Michael Jackson was touched by musical little G's, entertainment little G's. What I mean by little G's is little gods in that world, okay? He was reared in something different. Y'all don't get it. Y'all, when y'all start, that's why I say black people ain't got no discernment in this, a lot of times. That's why we mess up in the streets. But Michael Jackson was reared a certain way for greatness. I mean, Berry Gordy grew up under Berry Gordy, under Motown, with all the greats, knowing Rick James, knowing Stevie Wonder, knowing the Supreme, knowing the Temptation. He grew up different. How y'all keep comparing a kid who showed up at 14 and 15 pop locking on the thing and singing a little bit to Michael Jackson? You can't. He hasn't come through that musical anointing that Michael came through. That entertainment anointing. I mean, Fred Astaire calling you great. Quincy Jones producing your act. Stop it. Please quit acting like Michael Jackson wasn't a phenomenon and trying to pick any fucking body to come on and say, this is my dad. He ain't Michael Jackson. It's just sad. It's a disrespect for the iconic, powerful greatness of Michael Jackson. You don't understand it. If you say Chris Brown is Michael Jackson, you certainly don't understand what happened in Michael Jackson's life, okay? Chris Brown, the problem with Chris Brown is y'all keep telling him he's that, and that's why he's out here. He didn't get a chance to get the sprinkle dust or something sprinkled on him, get the special that let God mold him and shape him, because he's too busy around here thinking he's a shit. Because y'all done told him that lie. But I say, dude, no, you're not. It's a lot of people that can do what you do, but not a lot of people can do what Michael did. And Michael didn't just do it through singing and dancing. Michael, it was a spin of publicity, a spin of the time, a spin of giving you a show. Every time Michael Jackson, you remember Michael Jackson come to the awards, he had Michael Jackson, he had a Webster on one arm and Brooke Shields on another. I mean, just strange shit. Okay, just to get people talking. He was different. He wasn't trying to be like everybody else. So different that he was a little touched. Hey, I mean, I'm just going to tell the truth out here. Okay? All of us a little touched, but he was a little touched. He's different. Okay? So we're not going to sit here. Michael Jackson was running around talking about he writing songs, muscles was about a monkey. I mean, there was a snake. Something. They said, this is the Michael Jackson had a different kind of fight. Y'all got to quit this. Quit telling people like Chris Brown ain't Michael Jackson. No, he's not. Nowhere near to you. Nowhere near. You weren't even getting close. Michael didn't mimic his energy. A lot of y'all mimic Michael Jackson. Michael was something different. And he came along. And like I said, that came through years of spinning and weaving and watching people, watching the greats, being in the shadows of greatness. No, not watching them on TV, being in the shadows of greatness. You know, when I was little, I used to go to my grandma's and programs, and I see all the big gospel artists, the big singers and stuff like that. And sometimes I go down to my grandpa, like singers would come to visit our house and stuff, and I'd go downstairs, and I'd be seeing them all talking and stuff like that. And I'd be like, wow. And, you know, they'd be all talking about the music and, you know, gospel and stuff like that. I mean, you're talking about big gospel artists. And then sometimes I would go and see, my grandmother perform and things and stuff like that and watch all these great artists that, like, I got to sit in the shadows of watching all that. And I still sometimes get amazed at that. I'm like, why was I raised by them? Because, you know, I got to see so many great artists and music. And it was beautiful. Beautiful thing. That I'm saying it on a little level. Michael did this on a huge level. Michael at 5 saw all the greats. The greats wasn't on TV. The greats were his friends speaking into his life. Shit. That's why I said, I'm tired of y'all. I always have to give a speech every now and then. That is not what Chris Brown is doing, okay? Because Michael Jackson was more than singing and dancing, okay? Singing and dancing, like I said, the gifts of God are without to have, okay? But your gifts don't mean nothing if they ain't dipped in the fire. And I'm not talking about what Jill Scott talking about. Somebody got to go through the fire. If he was learning lessons, if he was going through the fire and learning the lessons he was supposed to be learning, then he would have a different form of graces. But he ain't even learning the lessons. He keep coming out, talking about, I'm better than anybody. I'm this and that. Y'all don't regret this. Y'all don't need it. I mean, he just sound crazy and delusional. I said what I said. He needs to grow up. Okay? All right, on to the next story. Okay. Can we take a break before we talk about Beyonce? I think we should, okay? When we come back, we're going to talk about Beyonce and living her long, luxurious life. Rapunzel, let down your hair. Remember that fairy tale? Rapunzel, let down your hair. Beyonce let down her hair for the sacred. host, I called her ass Rapunzel. Oh, my goodness. When we get back, we're going to talk about Rapunzel, Beyonce, known as Beyonce, better known as Beyonce, and all the ruckus she started with everybody seeing her hair, which she showed her hair. I'm not sure why everybody is shocked. She showed her hair a few years ago online, and everybody had the same reaction. I don't know what people are talking about. Okay, so we're gonna go. We're gonna come back and talk about that. Meanwhile, let's listen to "Captain of My Heart." Okay, my devil. I'll be back in a moment. Captain of her heart. Oh, my God, I love this song. Okay. It's the CC Show. I am back, y'all. We are talking hot topics, and we are getting to Beyonce. Housing, what is it? Bubble Beyonce. Rapunzel. Oh, my my God. I got jokes. I'm probably going to miss. Okay, now, let's go ahead. Let's talk about Rapunzel. Where was that? Did that put an article up on Rapunzel? Right here. Okay, there it is. Okay, this is from Yahoo.com. It says, Beyonce is in her content creator era. It says, Hearst Magazine, this is from Hearst Magazine, too. It says, entering the artist's world through their music is one thing, but a greater intimacy forms when an artist grants access to the most sacred parts of their life, especially in the area, an area that's common sore spot for many consumers, hair care. In February, Beyonce launched Sacred, an extension of lessons learned from her first job in her mother's Houston hair salon and her own hair journey and an act of service for others looking for relief. Since its launch, fan videos have poured in reviewing how a seven-piece collection works for various hair types. Now we have Beyonce's point of view. Now that Sacred is known for the quality and what it does for your hair, I think it's about time I show y'all what it does for my hair. Oh, my God. Look what she did. Beyonce said that Leo posted to her Instagram in the wee hours of Sunday night. Any of the singer does a voiceover and gives a quick glimpse of her sacred routine, which consists of shampoo, the two-step fermented rice and rose protein powder, following a fresh dye job, the deep conditioner. I love it. It's nothing like it. And a touch of moisturizing sealing lotion before a heat sealing. It's still filing. The stigma and misconception is that people wear wigs don't have long and healthy hair. That's some bullshit because it ain't nobody's business, she quit. She talks? Did she say bullshit? She adds that she blow dries her hair on a medium heat to minimize excessive heat. Now, I've told y'all this even with my own hair before I cut it all off. I told you guys that I wear wigs all the time and I had long hair, okay? I had a medium length, had long hair, okay? That's not a true statement. I remember one time I was wearing my hair, saying, why you wearing wigs? I was like, because I want to wear wigs. I don't feel like doing my hair. I hate doing my hair. Right? So, who cares, first of all? What's the deal with long hair? I mean, we kind of obsess as black people with long hair, okay? And then I want to say this about Beyonce. Beyonce comes from a Creole background, okay? Her hair might be a little different, okay? So, you know, and that's reasonable to talk about. It's not that black women can't grow their hair out long. That's bullshit, too, okay? It's just that, and I said Beyonce had long hair. I told y'all this. I said, but the problem was Sacred was rolled out wrong, Beyonce, okay? Sacred, you shouldn't be the last person coming in showing what Sacred does for your hair. Girl, this is your damn product, okay? So you out here, if it ain't the Asian ladies project, a product, because the rumors is it's the Asian ladies product. Because a lot of people don't know about that Asian CEO, okay? But I digress. Anyway. And that allegedly she wants out a product. Some people think that's a product. But that doesn't mean that Asian people can't make some good hair products. That's what I'm saying. But it's been what we've known in the black community that has been going on the lower levels of the black community is people fighting, having problems going with Asian hair care stores, Asians having control of all our hair care. Everything is black people have had a problem with this. Why Beyonce's ass? I mean, you can't hire Asian stuff, but why Beyonce's ass wasn't cognitive of this, I don't know. See how out of touch she is? But let me just say this, okay? The rollout to Sacred was wrong. You should have been the first person talking about hair. You know how it would be? Should it be hit at Beyonce? I ain't even got those. I'm about to give Beyonce some help. You should have came out and said, I wear wigs and weaves all the time, as you guys know. But I like to keep my own locks maintained and blah, blah, blah. And this is how I do it. But instead, your punk ass was running around with a platinum wig for weeks, okay, ignoring your hairline, letting everybody else get the hair done and all that shit. Got Kelly Rowland on here getting her hair pressed out. Maxwell showing boxes. Who else is out here doing shit? There's all kinds of people. Okay, Sacred, people online trying to go wash their hair and $40 shampoo. I mean, this is a lot of bullshit. Instead of you selling your shit, not talking about some bullshit story. When I was 10, I used to sleep in my mama's hair salon. Bitch, don't nobody care. What they have to do with doing hair? With somebody buying, you want people black people in America who you don't understand financially, I can see, you want black people in America to buy a $265 box of shampoo. We're going to get mail. We get, again, and some black people like, unless you like that, this is some real good shampoo that's like $30. I forget what the name of it is. It is expensive. But you want black people to spend $265 on the strength of your name. That's what you tried to do, and it did not work. But you should know better by now, okay? Because I didn't quite didn't work. I was very young, it ain't work. Where's that perfume, Beyonce? Is the perfume work? Quit talking about her ass, okay? She did a bad rollout. Her people, not her, her people did a bad rollout of Sacred. And now they're trying to run and get her, and they had all the blogs, all the people focused on her long hair, talking about, look, see, Beyonce trying to show you she got long hair. Beyonce trying to show you she got long hair and all this stuff. Beyonce, you showed that years ago. That has nothing to do with fucking Sacred. You've been having long hair for years. That don't mean Sacred grew it out. You're not explaining your product and how it works for you clearly. You said she asked if she blow dries her hair on medium heat to minimize excessive heat and use a hot comb for straightening, okay? Okay, but this is what you should have did when it first rolled out. But instead, you got weeks out of Asian CEO. We heard that it could be her, possibly her product that she just bought out. All kind of bullshit, okay? And this is why your shit be falling. Because you think you so all suck back that you don't have to talk to people to sell your shit. Bitch, you know you got to talk to people to sell your shit. You done had selling albums out here the last few years. You done had selling, some people, wasn't nobody buying the Adidas. You done had fake, Rihanna, you know why Rihanna sells. Let me help Beyonce today. Rihanna, I hope you do a shampoo line and show her how to do it. Rihanna is probably just the face of Fenty, okay? Now, we can be clear on that, okay? I'm going to just try to say that. Because we find out a lot of shit about these makeup companies and all this stuff like that. But she's a good face. Let me explain why Rihanna is a good product placement person for products. Rihanna is so fucking relatable. God, she's so relatable. Listen, Rihanna walks around. Rihanna want to sell you a lipstick, that, she talks to her fans, though. She talks, period. You know, she talks. She sings, right? She don't talk a lot, but she talks. Beyonce don't have no interaction. She's new as hell because you know why Beyonce don't have no interaction unless it's written or something like that? It's not because y'all was talking about her so much. It's because she's scared that y'all might really get to know her. Anyway, which I don't like people that, you know, when they don't say much. I'll be like, why can't I invest in you again? But here's the thing. Beyonce is not good at selling products because she's a mute. She doesn't have y'all mostly look at her, Beyonce, you're doing the spell work too long of trying to be the queen. Where you're still trying to be a queen above so people won't dislike you. So what you do is create this, I know, I used to do it in the 7th, 8th grade. You create an illusion, because I used to be so shy when I was in 7th grade. And a lot of times back in the day, you know, I had some people when I was in school, they were like, oh, my God, I thought people were jealous and asking, she should be teaching you and all this stuff. So what I did is I created more of an upscale. I try to be above everybody and, like, with people. People would see me when I become friends with them. It wasn't that I was being stuck up, but I just created an air where, and I didn't realize I was kind of doing spell work, but I was creating an air where it wasn't that you thought I was stuck up anymore. What it was is that you started to believe, you started thinking, oh, you started seeing me like, you know, I dress real well every day, or I just have on night ladies some nice fashion, I have my hair done. And you're like, oh, she's so cool, she's this and that. And people are going to holler, hi, Keisha. Like, oh, hi. You know, and like I had an air, like you had to, like it was a certain, like to get to me wasn't easy. right? And but if the truth was, it wasn't really that I did that. I was, and then when people would get to know me, they say, "Oh my God, I didn't know you were so cool and everything." The truth of the matter was, I didn't have no personality. I was quiet and shy, and I really didn't know how to relate. Okay, so that's why I created that illusion. That's what this bitch is doing, okay? So she's doing it as a grown-ass woman. But now it's time to stop because you're trying to sell product and merchandise. And you're trying to sell, you think you got a fan base who show up, but then they don't show up. Like, you got almost 30 million followers, but you're only selling 350 million records, 50,000 records. And we ain't heard what happened to that perfume. And you had a failed Adidas situation, and then House of Darion failed, all that shit, okay? Now, be sacred, I'm having a feeling might be failing. So you went and kind of came out here and tried to do a switcheroo and show all your hair. Rapunzel, let down your hair. She did a Rapunzel. And she's trying to make y'all believe that that's sacred, is how you grow your hair. But the problem is Beyonce and her people have not had a clear rollout to sacred. Not saying that the product isn't good, but you haven't had, you are not clearly selling it. And you should be the person in front selling the fucking hair, then everybody else, Beyonce. Okay? That's how you do. You should have relayed. Rihanna is relatable. If Rihanna be out here selling that lipstick, y'all need to try that new fancy pink. Oh, look at me in my new underwear. Rihanna get her, she show up on her fancy stuff. And she ain't looking like a space cadet either. Rihanna's looking fully in the room, fully present, having fun with people. Rihanna's at the thing. Beyonce, you look like a space cadet out there selling stuff, talking to people. You look like you don't even know how to relate to real people no more. You just looking like you, like they wind you up. You just there with empty eyes. Like you looked on there, like you looked on the thing when you was brushing your hair. I thought you was a robot. I didn't see nothing behind your eyes. And it was a lot of, you had, I mean, it just looked real strange. And this is why you can't feel nothing, because you're just not relatable. Rihanna is relatable. Now, Beyonce, I don't know if you can sell products and stuff like that doing that. That's why Rihanna's successful. Rihanna wears her shit. Rihanna walks around in her shit. Rihanna looked like a fashion icon before she started selling fashion. She was walking around New York City all the time, fashion the fuck out. Rihanna was always stepping high. So I said, Rihanna, bitch. Rihanna always looking. Rihanna looked like a fashion. And she's relatable to the regular people with her product. What did I just read about Rihanna? What did I just put out here? Let me get this right here. Looks like it. I got to spend some time talking about Beyonce's ass. Rihanna at this week. Rihanna giggles as she does an impressive British accent at her Fenty X Puma event in London. Okay, Rihanna attended Fenty X Puma Creepy Fatty event on Wednesday in London, and while there, the star was asked to do a British accent by a reporter. Mama 236 smiled and covered her mouth, and she immediately went into an impressive British accent, exclaiming, "Oh my gosh," she added, still in character. I'm so fucking embarrassed. It's going to be awful. See, she's relatable. My big fat creepers hashtag fatty. I can't believe y'all embarrassed me this way. She just said, and she looks like she's there. She doesn't look empty in the eye. Okay. So this is why we on the field. Let me see if I can put it. Let me see if we put it on speaker. If I can have a speaker, can I put it on speaker?
I
like her. And I want to buy products from her. And I believe she's a fashion icon. This bitch came out, this blonde hair she's wearing right now, and this coat, overcoat, and this glasses. Oh, God, this is great. This is why you can't do it, Beyonce. You just look weird. You look pretty, but weird. Like a pretty China, a pretty doll on this, in a box that nobody can touch. Brianna looks touchable, and that's why she sells products. Now, if Rihanna would have had a hair product, Rihanna be out here. She would have been the first one coming on talking to you about her hair product. First one, being relatable, showing it, showing her hair. You know, I wear wigs and everything. I know she would have did all that because her people know what to do. Your people only just, I don't know, they just wrapping you up in bubbles and selling you. They don't really give you no solid shit to help you sell. It's scary for you, girl. I'm worried about you because people are investing in your ass and stuff, and I know these people ain't getting big returns from your ass, and it looks like Sacred probably about to do a nosedive. It might pick up a little bit because of this, the new Rapunzel Let Down Your Hair commercial. But other than that, sis, you ain't made it clear what this stuff does. And I think it's too expensive. It's what it is. For a person who doesn't sell product that well, to come out and sell a high-ass $38 bottle of shampoo and shit that's about three ounces, it's trash. It's nasty work. I'm going to leave Beyonce alone, okay? But Beyonce, this is why. It has nothing. It's not the blogs and stuff. Y'all trying to pump up. She didn't give y'all talking points. Her people didn't give y'all talking points because they fucked up their rollout. And they want us to say, well, y'all was sitting up here saying, look, Beyonce snapped on y'all. Look at y'all. She's showing she got hair. No, Beyonce didn't snap on nobody. Most people knew Beyonce had long hair. She's shown it before. The question is, did Sacred do that? And let me explain something else to you, Beyonce. You talking about did y'all, oh, I love you all videos of you all doing your rituals. Girl, you better quit using ritual. People already think you the singing Contessa out here. Okay. I tell you, if I was an advertiser, I'd be like, let's make it clear what a ritual is. It means like every day we wash our hair because, you know, they think you Contessa, baby. You, what's Contessa? Oh, you're a witch. Okay, they think you the R&B witch. Well, not R&B, the musical witch, pop witch. Oh my God, the Beehive, the Beehive Haiti. I'm sorry, Beehive. I'm going to check into Ramada again right now. It's not right. Now she come out and tell us, see, this helped me with my hair because I dye my hair. You, bitch, you should have been saying that from the first advertisement. But you thought you could run around here with a blonde wig on, sell country music, and they just going to buy Sacred because my name. And I don't know how you thought that because you haven't done well in merchandise. Might be. Are they slow over there at Beyonce's? Is Beyonce's people slow? I know they're not slow. They kind of seem a little slow when it comes to these products. You know, I always got this girl out here selling some bum products, okay? Now, I don't know what Sacred's like. It might be you. But Beyonce, you haven't defined it enough, okay? Now, speaking of Beyonce, Tasha K had on this week? What's her name, lady? She had, I got to see the whole interview. I only saw it in part. She had the reporter, Liz Liz, if I had to, if I can find it on. Let's see. Liz Crocken. And she talked about Jay-Z, and she talked about the Kathy White situation, and lots of other situations. So I'm not going to play that, but she's saying, Liz, Tasha K was saying, she said to Liz Crocken, says on there that that Jay-Z and Beyonce's relationship may have been, well, maybe I got a clip, may have been let my lot darker. This is from TashaK.com.
That her entire life, she recorded this album years ago. But her entire life, Summers, her whole life has been taken away from her. She wants freedom. The name of the album is Cowboy Carter, and he's traveling, when I tell you, everywhere with her. She stopped posting pictures of her anniversary years ago.
She's the next slave princess, like Britney. She's trapped, probably can't get out. She knows it, and she knows that she tries to get out. So do to her what they did to Britney Spears.
Okay. That's Liz Crocken and Beyonce. I mean, Liz Crocken and Tasha K talking about Beyonce and the relationship with her and Jay-Z. Now, a lot of people think Jay-Z, Beyonce is not like she's being held prisoner. She's probably being drug addicted. I know her eyes be looking blank and she be looking like a robot. But let me tell y'all something, okay? As I said before, she's with the shit, okay? Even from her, you got to look at her astrology chart. Ask an astrologist. Hey, I done said it last week. I said, they couldn't catch you, and they never will. That's Beyonce, okay? I can be your bodyguard. That's Beyonce, baby, okay? That's Beyonce. She's Jay-Z. She's like, hey, I protect you in the mosh pit. You know how people like to talk shit. Pop shit. That's her in real life. That's what we should be really seeing, but she don't want to show y'all that. Because you might not like her ass. Because you might say, oh. So he just told her, shut your ass up. Go over there and sit in the corner like you ain't, you know, like you face the death. Okay? But if you come popping off at Jay-Z, I bet you find out some things. Okay? Okay? So I don't believe this whole thing. I like you, Liz. But I don't believe that Beyonce's a victim here. Okay? Tells me different. Okay? All right. So, yeah. But Beyonce, you know, the hair thing, girl. Child, I'm just not. Child, I understand. You cannot get out here and sell sacred and with a blonde wig on while you run around here trying to sell country music and not, you know, you should, that's from the beginning, you should have had the approach of your real hair, being relatable, talking to your fans, maybe having your fans call you up on live or come on live and ask you questions, you being on live and looking, saying, what, such and such from such and such. I remember Beyonce used to be fun like that. And y'all say, well, she don't talk now because her fans don't let. No, that's not the reason why Beyonce don't talk. Beyonce don't talk because she's scared a bone will pop out. Okay. So I just, you know, this is just, you know, she thinks her own self. She's not very relatable. She's not, and so you it's hard to sell products when you're not that, okay? That's my personal opinion. But, you know, the Rapunzel, let down your hair thing may work for me. Okay. Good luck, Beyonce. Good luck. All right, we got to talk about Meg Thee Stallion. What time? This is a good time. Where we at, y'all? In time. We got time to talk about Meg. Oh, yeah, we got time. Okay, Meg Thee Stallion. Girl, Megan, I'm starting to hear about you with everything else except music. I don't ever hear about Megan Thee Stallion and drop something hot. All you hear about is drama. Okay? I'm just saying out in these streets. Okay? This is according to Yahoo.com. It says, Megan Thee Stallion sued by cameraman claiming he was forced to watch her have sex. Oh, my. Megan Thee Stallion has been accused of harassment by her former cameraman who alleges she forced him to watch her have sex. According to the documents obtained by The Blast, the cameraman claims he was once trapped inside a moving vehicle with the Not My Fault artist while she engaged in sexual activity with another woman. He's now suing the hip-hop star for harassment in a hostile work environment. According to the court documents, Emilio Garcia began working for Megan Thee Stallion in 2018 and quit his other job in 2019 to work with the rapper full-time. He worked for her until June 2023, has per lawsuit. In or around June 2022. Garcia was traveling on tour with the Hip Hop Store in Ibiza. Boy, y'all be getting down over there in Ibiza. What y'all be doing in Ibiza? I'm nosy, you see. I be going over to Ibiza and see what the hell y'all be doing. Y'all be doing baby parties and all kind of shit be going on over there. I saw a good movie one day. I can't talk about it on Ibiza and the party life in Ibiza. So it was really interesting. But it says, after a night out, both individuals and three other women were riding in an SUV together. Then suddenly Stallion and one other woman started having sex right beside Garcia, the doc says. Garcia could not get out of the car as it was both moving, and he was in the middle of nowhere in a foreign country. Garcia claims he was embarrassed, mortified, and offended throughout the whole idea. The next day, Garcia claims Megan Thee Stallion told him, don't ever discuss what you saw, before she berated and directed her fat-shaming comments towards Garcia, such as fat bitch. Wow. Now, y'all know they did honor her at Planned Parenthood this week, which was hilarious to me, okay, because considering the music, type of music she did, okay, I'm like, are we living in the fucking Twilight Zone? The world has gone mad. Oh, my. I'll let y'all catch that. Okay, but I thought Planned Parenthood. I was like, really? I guess that she was making this long person. Oh, this is celebrities, okay? You can't, I mean, you might, you know, first man that wouldn't enjoy seeing, or I heard of, wouldn't enjoy seeing two women get down, okay? But anywho, some people are offended by you doing wild shit like that, okay? And I know you're a celebrity. You out here having a great time and having fun in Ibiza, okay? But y'all got to chill. You got to be careful. People ready to take you out, ready to give you all kind of lawsuits. Why would you be having sex in front of the cameraman? It's slow. Pisces, get to work. I got time to be snared. Megan give me a headache. Oh, goodness. Okay, on to the next thing. Okay, she could be doing so much better. It's just, you know, it's just constant, just craziness. Brian McKnight. When we talk about dark-sided Gemini, Brian McKnight to me is the dark side of Gemini. You know, he can be the dark side. So this week on the Shade Room, Brian McKnight's ex-wife, Julie McKnight, shared nothing. This is what Shade Room said. Shred of a testimony, seemingly in response to remarks her ex-husband made about her and their kids. He's saying that, you know, Bryant this week said his children were sins, okay? His children, not he was in the act of sin, but his children were sins, okay? Now, oh, Bryant is picking at, this is my personal opinion, Julia, his ex-wife, because Julia, and I'm telling you, let me teach you, ex-wife over there, new wife, peep game, okay, because Gemini will do this shit, okay, still might be in love with that lady, because that lady is the original look of what he wanted. I mean, the original, he wanted that family to stay together, and she finally got tired of his bullshit and divorced him and fucked up the way he saw his life going, and he had to start all over with you. Okay, now he's overly doting on you, overly doing all the things that probably he should have did allegedly with Julia to get her attention. Okay, that's what I'm thinking. Okay, because he sounds like he's nitpicking on her coming on here, talking about her kids, and talking about he had his kids. And seen. I mean, this is dumb shit. Okay, Brian, he ain't that dumb. Brian be out here doing the most, okay? And then I think he be trying to get attention on the internet. He might be trying to go on tour or something, maybe. You know, who knows, okay? He said, I'm trying to get through this. I got to get to Neo for y'all. Brian McKnight is back at one again after being received. He says, in order to live a life you love, you have to get rid of the ego and the negativity. even if that evil and negativity is related, said the singer. The singer has been the talk of social media over the past few months for publicly disowning his sons, okay? This is from Bossup.com. It says he also has a daughter named Brianna who he had, whom he's also estranged from, okay? He said, okay, in response, McKnight took to Instagram with Ricky Lapai's video. This week, referring to Julia as my one and only daughter. She feels great, he said, by his stepdaughter. Okay. Okay, every time Byron Knight starts trending on, I think he took time to respond to another commenter who supported Brian Sr. by writing, the ones who be saying, what about the other children? Some things are pure evil. In order to live that life he loved, you have to get rid of evil. Okay, I guess he is calling his other kids evil and a sin. But, Brian, you were part of the raising of that family and the other kids and stuff like that. I actually do, too, sometimes think, sometimes Gemini's Mercury retrograde and Gemini's shit. Sometimes y'all might want to shut your ass up during Mercury because anything you say can be misunderstood. People are like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, so I think that, you know, people be looking, because Geminis are so strange. So, like, a lot of Geminis are known as a communication sign, but they also can be very strange communicators, okay? So, like, how they communicate or something like that, or, like, if you've ever been involved, with they love mind games, or they love to give you symbolism. That they like you, you know what I'm saying? They be like, you're like, what? You be having to decode the message. That's Gemini's shit. Okay, so my personal opinion is this is what you see with Brian. It's like there are decoded messages. He's fucking with his ex-wife and all this stuff because he's pissed. And, you know, it's sad to see. It really is, okay? But Julia has a little bit, I guess her name is Julia. I think I'm hoping I get her name right. But she responded to what Brian McKnight did this week.
Outside of that isn't a happy place to be. Physically, mentally, spiritually, it's better for me to be in a space where I make sure that the joy is what's around me, which I have so much to be thankful for, so many things that I'm grateful for. And I know the way the devil works, and I know that in those times where blessings are bountiful, he likes to creep in, and he likes to use things that he feels will touch parts of you, touch parts of you to bring you out of a space where your energy to a lower vibration, lower level, because then you're no longer able to continue on a path where you are okay. That day and that time and that moment and in those seconds, it will and has been and will forever be in reference to my children, as I'm sure most mamas are, as I'm sure most daddies are. And at some point, it's just enough. It's just enough, and it has to be clear that, and hopefully it can help some other folk who might be dealing with situations where there's a constant gnaw of ridiculousness that's trying to get its way, almost like a rat that knows there's food on the other side that will nourish every part of them because they're not getting it. And with this situation, it's attention. So that rat just digging, and it keeps digging, and it chews through wires, and it.
I mean, that's what it is. Let me just say this, ma'am. This is exactly what it is, okay? Geminis will get, they will get petty. I talked about this last week. The Geminis will be petty as hell, okay? They will gnaw around like a little, she's saying a rat. That's a good example. I say like a little net, okay? So he's fucking with her, okay? He really hurt, and he knows his ex-wife, and he probably knows that, you know, air signs, if you've ever been in love with an air sign, they are very hard to get over, OK? okay? Because they, you know, they are. They a lot of times they appear fun, especially Geminis, okay? You know, people put Capricorn as the devil archetype, but sometimes I think Geminis could be the devil archetype too. But because they're the tricksters of the zodiac, the magicians of the zodiac, and they can create such beautiful illusions and things like that and everything. And I'm sure, I think in the case of, this is just my personal opinion, in the case of looking at Brian McKnight and his ex-wife, you know, where he was out there playing the field and stuff like that, at one point, I'm sure this was, she probably thought he was the best man on earth. And then it all unravels, and allegedly another side baby Ted, allegedly and all this stuff. And suddenly she makes a decision that, hey, I'm not going to be in this anymore. Okay. And that breaks up the illusion of whatever perfection he thought he had. And now he's had to go out there and remarry and redo it. So now he's trying to erase his old family, but really he missed his old family. That's what's going on, man. He missed his old family. He missed them kids. He probably missed that woman, too. Okay? I just say this, and you can tell it's hurting her because you can look at her, even though she's being so gracious and so nice and everything, but you still look at her. You can still look at her. She got on the baseball cap, you know, she kind of got it covering her eyes and stuff like that. And she's talking beautifully. Let me tell you something. Let me give you some advice. Next time you have to confront his ass, make sure you look at your damnedest. Look your best. Look good as hell. Really disrupt his energy. Okay? Look good. Come on with your best. Girl, look like you fight. And just say enough. Okay. You know, he probably disintegrate. Okay. So that's what I was just saying. Because sometimes, you know, smack that net. Okay. Put a mouse trap out for that rat. Okay. Because sometimes that's what you got to do with Jills. Okay. Because Jills can feel. Okay. They, remember, I said people, they mirrors. But he can feel. He know he's fucking with her. You know he's fucking with them kids over there. Know what he's doing. He's a nut. He really missed that family. That's why he's acting like that. He really wants y'all to come and give him attention and apologize. He's a man child. And he don't got control no more. Okay? Y'all talking about Scorpios in control. No, y'all need to look at Geminis in control. Geminis is controlling as well. So not all of them, but some of y'all. Okay? I'm just saying. And he don't got control of that family dynamic no more. Ah, this is the way he has control. He harasses them in public. So I feel like she handled it right. She handled it the right way. She did the right thing, okay? So, yeah, but that's tough. I can tell that's tough for her to hear somebody who you shared a life with at one point in the game say, your kids was a sin. I agree. I think they some sort of evil or something. That's wild. Okay. Okay, Neo, let's talk about this. Let polygamists do what they want, but no marriage for me. That's just what Neo's saying from TMZ.com. Neo wants the government to stay out of his love life, saying he thinks polygamists should be allowed to marry multiple women while holding hands with two partners. We caught up with the songwriter at the Grove in Los Angeles Thursday, and he made his feelings pretty clear. Consenting adults should do whatever the hell they want in their love lives without the government interference. That said, Neo says he's not going to Washington, D.C. to fight for law change because it's not currently affecting his personal life, and he's not sure he wants to marry multiple women. Of course he doesn't. Polygamists have to be responsible to all those women, okay? He doesn't want to do that, okay? He just wants to probably sex y'all, okay? We also asked Neo why he doesn't write songs about dating multiple women. He says because he draws on his own life experience, and this is his first relationship with two women. And we even asked Neo's girlfriends if they're interested in walking down the aisle together to marry the star. I got to see their reactions to the question. Neo's enjoying a polygamous relationship ain't new. Remember, we told you Neo was part of Miami Hell too. Okay, let me just say this is not a polygamous relationship. Well, some of them are polyamorous in thought process, but a lot of polyamorous people are not usually lying to each other. A lot of polyamorous people are out and about. You know, I feel like, you know, I got a lot of feelings about polyamorous, but every time I talk about this on the show, it's always controversial, and people write me about it saying, Carlotta, what are you saying? Because I said that I think cheating is shows a side of cheating is a little bit of respect. Wait a minute. I mean, y'all say this, so it's not right. Y'all be getting mad at me. I'm not saying cheating, but it's not me, okay? What I'm saying is that it shows that you're afraid of something, but some people ain't afraid of shit. You know what I'm saying? They just say, like, hey, let's do what we want to do. You know, it shows that there's still a boundary there, okay, or what you consider a boundary. I don't know. Gosh. Let me just not talk, okay? Okay, you know what I'm saying? I just... Let me leave it alone because I don't want y'all writing me, okay? But I'll just say this, okay? Neo, men like Neo, again, R&B star, okay? Women everywhere. I mean, women, listen, I was watching the other night. Let me tell you something. Speaking of my favorite, Maxwell posted this picture, like, it was like, what time is it? It was probably like it's at night, maybe about 8 o'clock. It was gorgeous. It was a beautiful thing. I was like, oh, my God, it's beautiful eyes, everything. I mean, just good. It took less than a couple of hours and 1,000 people, women had like me, probably me too, but mostly probably women liked it. Like, and thinking, oh, you look so busy. I mean, shit. I mean, I'm like, man, you know, now just imagine. Now he could look, as a man, he could pick any one of them bitches. It don't matter. And just call, you can call anybody else and say, hey, what you doing? Hi, and my name's Maxwell. Every motherfucker's gonna be intrigued, okay? You know what I'm saying? It don't matter. They're gonna all be intrigued because he's not only is he good looking, but he's an R&B star too. So look at Neo. Neo ain't even all that. Neo's okay? But Neo getting all this coochie cat. Look, because what? Because he's a great songwriter, a singer. Listen, okay? I'm just trying to tell y'all, these dudes ain't got to be responsible and love you. They think they the prize. Okay. So, yeah, they can go to models. They can go to all kind of things. They can date all age groups and shit. They can do. I heard this one story. It was so unbelievable to me. So somebody told me to try to sell me a story. Not sell me a story, because I'm not a Tasha K. I love me some Tasha K, but I'm not a Tasha K. I can't drop no tea. I ain't drop no wine. I mean, whatever. But listen, okay. So, I mean, I'm not dropping wine like that. I'm dropping wine that's already out there. Until I can, you know, you can have some big lawyers or something like that. But somebody gave me a wine story on a special. And I didn't believe it. Somebody was writing and giving me a wine story on a singer they was dating, okay? And they were saying to me that this singer was messing around with this woman. I just could not believe it. I was like, it wasn't that the woman wasn't cute, because she was, but it was that she was much older than him. So I was like, this shit was all scandalous. I can't even tell. If I tell how scandalous this shit was. It was scandalous. I mean, the woman, it was a lot going on, okay? And so I thought the story, I was like, this can't be a true-ass fucking story. Because this chick came to me like twice trying to get me to, because she was pissed because she found out the nigga was fucking around on her with this lady, okay, who was much older. And I think separate, she was married, but she was separate. You know what I'm saying? Having her a good time on these streets. Right. But I was like, damn, you know, like, tell me your story. I just couldn't believe it. Like, few years later, a source that I think I can trust told me the story was absolutely true. Now, I was like, fuck, really? Because I had this story. I had this lady try to sell it to me twice, trying to tell me. But I told her, I'm not that tea drop. I'm not going to drop tea, take it to, you know, somebody who got tea, you know, who drops tea, you know, drop wine and stuff. They'll drop it for you. But I will, and they'll vet it real well, you know, and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, and he was a big time. He was big time in the entertainment world. I'm just trying to tell y'all this, okay? Listen, these dudes can have anything, not anything. They can have anybody, okay? Because there's some bitches, there's some women who be like, fuck you, you know what I'm saying? But it's some, these men can have anyone I have said without the responsibility of maturing. That don't mean all the guys are bad. I'm not saying all male pop singers and R&B singers are bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying most of them are probably hoes, okay? Because they... You don't have to build relationships, okay? And so, like, I say to women, you know, like, when women go to concerts and stuff like that, you know, it's fun to go to concerts, it's fun to see your favorite artist, whatever. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to take these males, those type of males seriously and, you know, and let them into your life or let them into having a relationship with those type of people because of you're probably not going to be the only one, and there's probably not going to be anything going towards you being the only one. And it's good that Neo is now kind of letting people know I'm dating two people. He kind of just being honest out here. Like, you know, he's trying to be kind of doing Prince shit. You know, like Prince was doing this shit. Not because early on Prince was lying. But then Prince just started eventually just having Prince friends. Okay. He just stopped lying to himself, just started having women, okay? And I can appreciate Neo. Neo's like, shit, I done had this, man. I'm just going to go ahead and have me. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to have two or three girlfriends right now. Okay, and so that's because a lot of women will let these men into their lives and hoping that they can have something serious and real with these people. And maybe eventually you will get to that, but probably you might have to go through a lot of hoes and HPV and STDs before you get there. Call back note. What kind of show is this? Okay, now we have come to the end of the show. You guys, thanks for hanging out with me so much. I got a crazy show. I don't know what else. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful night. Enjoy the rest of your week. I'll try to do another show sometime this week, y'all, because I have some more stories for y'all. But meanwhile, we're going to go out with, I don't know, what are we going to go out with? Let's go out with, oh, I don't know. I had my song that I wanted to go out with. Y'all know how I be doing. And then I be messing up. I forget it. Okay. Okay. Let's go out with Don't Disturb This Groove because it's my favorite song. We're going to go out with that one. It's the CC Show. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. I will see y'all sometime this week. Okay. I'm out. Bye, y'all. Of my voice, you are listening to The Archive Show. You guys, thank you so much for listening to me like you do every week. I appreciate y'all so much. I appreciate y'all telling people about me, stuff like that. Thank you so much. Remember, you can hit me up on the Carlotta Chatwood Facebook page. Just me privately send me a message. Or you can hit me up on my Instagram, Carly's_galaxy. You can also see me on TikTok. I think I'm on TikTok, Keisha Carlotta on TikTok. I really like TikTok. They about to ban it. We'll talk about that next show, okay? We may try, if I can remember, y'all. Y'all know how I'm doing. All right, so, TikTok, Keisha Carlotta, and then also Threads, okay? So remember, you guys, out and on Twitter, it's CChatwood Show and Carlotta72, okay? So there's a lot of ways that you guys can reach out to me and say something, all right? But Carlotta Chatwood Facebook page and Instagram are the best places, Carly's_galaxy, to send your messages and stuff like that, okay? Hey, I appreciate y'all so much. Thank you for listening. I hope y'all have a wonderful rest of the week. I may try to do another show. I hate when I tell y'all I'm going to do another show because, like, I won't put a day on it because and it might be a short show next time because I had a few stories, more stories that I wanted to talk to y'all about, so when we do, maybe I'll try to do a short show sometime this week and hitting some of the other hot topics that I didn't hit, okay? But meanwhile, y'all have a good one, okay? I'm out. See y'all. Oh, we're going to leave out with Coast and Victoria Monet. I'm out. See y'all.
Baby, what's your sign? 'Cause you're astronomically fine. And all I do is think to you. Baby, all I do is,
think of the way.
The ways I wanna give you this ass.
Just how you lie.
Feel like a Thursday, how I'm throwing it back. I'ma make it go north. Take you on a trip, I swear they don't